My name is up on the screen in big, bold, capital, colourful, underlined letters. It's not Ross Kerr. It's not Ross Kershaw. It's not Ross Curran. It's not Ross Kemp. Yes, I've had trouble with all of those before. It's Ross Kerno. Ross Kerno. That's what it is. Once upon a time, I used to write in newspapers. That was my job. And my name used to appear in the newspaper. So when you looked in there, you would see the little names. That used to be my name. And because I wrote in newspapers, people used to send me mail all the time. I used to get letters with stamps on them sent the old-fashioned way. I used to get emails. I used to get crazy things called faxes that just shot out of a machine. But for some reason, people didn't quite seem to know who I was. Even though my name was in the paper, they still didn't quite get it right. And I collected over the years, over 5 years, 58 different spellings of my name. I had things like Ross Kerno. I had things like Ross Kernor. I had Ros Kerno, where they just got lazy and dropped the last letters off the last two words. I had Rose Corno. Now, I have an auntie, Rose, so it could have been to her, but her name's not Corno, it's Kerno as well. This is my doctor's name, Dr. Ross Kuenow. Everyone would go and see that doctor. My two-for-one deal is Kunrao and Kunraun. Count it twice, that one. This was my St. Alfred's name earlier in the year, I was Ross Kernew. But now I've been around for a while, I could be Ross Kerold. I had Ross Erno and its friends. Lerno, Cerno, Gerno and Berno. Yep, all of them. Genuinely, I don't even know what those ones are supposed to be. You see, you get all sorts of weird things. I really liked Ross Chemo and Ross Chemo. I thought that was my Japanese names. And my Scottish name, Ross Kiernu. And the French one, and I think that's Irish next to it, I'm not sure. But my favourite, really, was just a type error on typewriters before even faxes. And that was Ross Kerr Wow. Really like that one. Now, it wasn't just my last name, though. You'd think Ross would be pretty easy to get, but no, I had Rod, Rob, Rowan, Riss, Russ, Ruz, Roz, Rose, Matthew, Jeff, Judy. Yep. I got an email to Judy, and my favourite, though, of my first names was Bros Kerno. And those of us who lived through the 80s do remember there was a band called Bros, and I wondered if that's what they thought I looked like. Not sure. Now, this all cleared up because I stopped being a journalist and I moved to the church and started working there, and people stopped sending me quite so much mail until just a couple of weeks ago. I had this email came through from a guy named Mike McNamara. To me, it says, Helen. Just a... Okay. So would the real Helen please stand up? Not the same, Mike. Different. Yeah, thanks. I think her parents know it. I know it as well. Sometimes the world just gets us wrong, don't they? We think we've done everything we can to be noticed and to show who we are and to show our true colours, but for some reason, people still don't quite get it right sometimes. Well, you'll be pleased to know that the Bible has a lot to say about who we are. And I told this to a friend of mine recently, or actually it was a couple of years ago, and she encouraged me with this. It's a note, or it's a list of descriptions of who we are according to what's in the Bible. And it comes from this book called The Bondage Breaker by Neil T. Anderson. You can buy this book because there are lots of really good things in there as well. There's other lists as well. But it shows me what the Bible says about who I am. And for me, it's one of the best things about reading the Bible is it does tell me who I am and how God sees me. And this reading is particularly good that we had today because right off the bat, it tells us straight away exactly who we are. It says, in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith, which is awesome. And the reading also goes on to tell us who we aren't, which I think is also helpful. It says, there is neither Jew nor Gentile. Now, these things still exist, but these things don't matter so much now. Slave nor free, nor is there male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. I think that's so encouraging to be told that, And if you were looked at these sorts of things, when Paul first wrote this letter to the churches in Galatia, which is now in modern day Turkey, these are the things that people would have been looking for immediately. And if you got all the right combination of these things, you would have been the best of the best. But if you had the wrong combination of all these things, you might have been seen as the lowest of the low. And these are the things that when people saw you, they would have been going, well, these are the things that define them, make them who they are, also the things that divide them. So split them up so we can judge people and rank people. And I think we still do this a little bit now, but we might use slightly different things. So for me, I often think about, this is going to work. Yep, oh, backwards. Oh, we'll go through them. I'll take them out, actually. Here we go. Back again. Excellent. There we go. For me, I judge people often according to whether or not they make me smile. That's one of the big things for me. So if you smile at me, it makes me feel really good about myself. That's how I often see it. It might be we judge people according to how much money they have. And it's very easy to do this, especially in our area where we live, when we're all fairly rich compared to other people. We might look down at other people who don't have quite as much money. Another big one for boys, and we saw Tommy come up and talk about this before, is how good you are at sport and whether or not you're the first person picked on the team or the last person left waiting at the end. Sometimes that affects our self-esteem and how we see ourselves. And I really liked in Tommy's monologue he did how the father was proud of him regardless of what happened. But we can see that as really important. The Bible reading is telling us maybe that's not so important. Whether or not we're one of the beautiful people. And Rachel talked about that just before. I hope you could hear her. It was really, really good. And sometimes I think we can compare ourselves to other people and whether we're one of the beautiful people as well. And we want to change ourselves to be more like them. Maybe those things don't matter so much now. And who has the best house? Now, it's easy for us to think this is what the world, all the people out there do. They judge people and divide people and rank people. But actually, I think we still do it sometimes too. I went to a Bible study at a different church a couple of years ago. It was about 3 years ago. It was only men there, and I talked about my smiling thing. But they said the first thing they do when they're judging people, the first thing they look for is what car someone drives. Now, I felt terrible because I turned up in this. So I felt very, very judged. But I think we do that. Sometimes we look still to those external things that don't matter so much. The reading is telling us that what matters is whether or not we know Jesus, whether or not we're one of God's people, whether or not we are his child. It actually puts it this way. It says, "For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ." Now let me have a little look. Just going to check. Okay, it's official. Everyone here is clothed. That's a good thing, because we would notice if you weren't. Now, we would also, what we wear is very distinctive, and sometimes it does make us stand out. For example, if I turned up at church wearing this, you would notice. People would not even bother to call me Ross Kerr New or something else. I'd be the guy in the really weird trousers, and that's all they'd really know. What we wear, sometimes, we wear different things according to what we're about to do sometimes as well. So, for example, if I was to wear this, why do you think I'd be wearing this? Anyone got anything they want to? Cold. It's cold, yes. And you see, having a great big bushy beard, I'm sure, does help keep you warm. But even these guys need big thick coats. You wear it because you need to protect yourself from the cold. What about if I was to wear something like this? Now, there is other stuff that I don't have that would go with it as well. What would I be wearing this for? Why would I need this sort of stuff? Safe? Did you say? Yeah, yep, exactly. Yep, Joe's getting it right. It's because without the protective clothing, these guys would just burn up. You know, they'd be really, really hot and their bodies would go red and they would be burnt. What about if I was going to wear something like this, what would I be doing? Playing cricket, that's right. I'd be showing that I was part of the team and ready for action. You can see each of the shirts here, I've got logos here and different colours and stuff like that. I'd be showing I was part of the team and I was ready for action. What we wear does actually, we have a purpose for it and there's reasons. So, if we were to be clothed in Christ,
It isn't that we would actually be putting Jesus on our back and walking around. We would be taking him with us, but it would be showing that we're ready for action. We are part of his team, that maybe we need him for protection. But one thing's for sure, it is constant. You don't come to church here in clothes and then go out into the world and don't have clothes on. You come here clothed in Christ. You go out into the world and you stay clothed in Christ. It's permanent. We're supposed to take him everywhere we go. That's our identity and that's who we are. We're people who are clothed in Jesus and are his children. Now, I love Stacks of Praise. They did a great job, and Alyssa and Tommy and the guy, Sophie, who did all the monologues before, Rachel, the dance was fantastic. I snuck in on them the other day. I did some snooping around while they were doing their stuff, and I don't think they realised I was there. And I found their thinking. This is their whiteboard that they were working on. And when they were thinking through this Bible reading and thinking through what they were going to do today, I really like it. They had some really good answers. And it's really encouraging for us to know that this is what our kids are thinking through and the leaders who are helping them. It's great. But there's one word I reckon that was missing. It's not there that is in our Bible reading heaps today. And that is the word slave. The Bible reading talks about us, even though we're God's children, we're also a little bit like slaves. It's very tricky and very confusing. But it made me think of this guy. This is King Henry VI of England, and he was also King of France. He became king in 1422. I'm sure you all know your history and you know that. Guess how old he was when he became king? Anyone want to have a stab at that? 12, I'm hearing? 12. It's like the Price is Right. Lower. Five, I'm hearing five, it's lower. Two, I'm hearing two, it's lower. I'm hearing one, it's actually lower. King Henry VI was 9 months old when he became king. And as we all know, really, babies can't really rule, can they? Because they're too young to really understand. All they can really do is cry and eat and sleep and poop. You know, that's pretty much all they can do. And so some trusted grown-ups were put in his place until he became old enough to actually rule properly. And he was probably about 10 when that happened. And until that time, he had to live under all the same rules as everybody else. And it was like he was just another member of the society. He was just like everybody else who had to stick to all the rules. Well, what the reading is saying to us is that even though we are God's children, that we also get stuck under all the rules and the different, I think it was the spiritual forces that everybody else is stuck under as well. Which means we also live in this world that's full of sin and bad things that happen. And the worst part is we actually contribute to that as well by also being sinful. And sometimes, even when we're trying to do the right thing, by doing the wrong thing and sinning against God as well. Well, the reading tells us that God did two things, specifically in this reading, to help fix that. So the first one is God sent Jesus into the world to die on the cross for our sin. That makes us adopted children of God's family, is what it says. It brings us into God's family as his children. And the second thing is God sent his Spirit to live in our hearts. And notice it's actually the Spirit that calls out Father. And he's the one who helps us to do that as well. That brings that intimate and close relationship. It's the Father sending the Son and the Spirit that brings us as full adopted children into God's family, but we're also heirs. So when the world gets us wrong, and when they mix us up and we think we've shown everything we can to show them who we are and how good we are and we're trying to do the best, when they get it wrong, remember, that's who you are. God sees you as his child. Now, I want to end with a couple of verses that just from other parts of the Bible too. We'll go away from Galatians. Just other things that tell us a little bit about being God's child. There'll be a little bit of congregation participation at the end too, so get ready for that. I love this one. It's not talking about being father, God being father particularly, but it does tell us a bit about him. It says, and even the very hairs on your head are all numbered. God, as our Father, knows us so perfectly and completely. He knows us better than we know ourselves, because we can never count our own hairs. That's wonderful for us to know that our Father knows us that well. Jesus says, my Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? I want to show you Tommy's door in our house. That's his room, and we moved there when he was about one, and we prepared that room for him. As you can see, we stuck his name on the door. Isn't it wonderful to realize that up in heaven there's a door somewhere with your name on it? Isn't that cool? Now, the kids at Boyzone will have heard me talk about this before, so sorry about that to them. In journalism, when you're writing in the newspaper, you are not allowed ever to use this, an exclamation mark. They're banned. You're not allowed to use them because, well, I'll tell you what they said. Punctuation is like the street signs on the road of your sentence, is what they said. And so you should be able to get to an exclamation mark and have to exclaim something and go, yeah, or woo, or something like that. That's what an exclamation mark is there for. It's to highlight. It's a big impact. Okay. So our final reading I wanted to look at, just really briefly, has not one, but two exclamation marks. So I want to end by reading this verse to us, and I'd love it if we exclaimed something. I don't mind what it is. You might go, woo, or wow, or yeah. But let's make a little bit of noise, because this is really exciting. If you're someone who feels uncomfortable about yelling in church, that's okay. Feel free to remain quiet. The kids, if you want to, it won't be that loud. The kids, if you want to, can make a little bit of noise and be excited, because this is great news. So you ready to make some noise? Good. Let's read this. I'll read this sentence and watch for the exclamation marks. Parents, you might help your kids if they can't read. 1 John 3, verse 1. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. Woo! And that is what we are. Yeah! That's great. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you that you sent your Son and you sent your Spirit. And we thank you that we are adopted children into your family. We are full children. We are heirs. We thank you that this is how you see us. We pray that as the world will sometimes get it wrong, sometimes miss who we really are, that we know that you know. God, I pray that as we go out into the world, we will remember this and we will stay close to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks, guys.